My name is Beck Ham, an addict. There's a lot of people in this room that I actually know. At the European Convention, I've been to many. I'm usually sitting in the European delegates meeting and not in a recovery meeting, so this is a refreshing change, and I want to thank the committee. And if I think I probably have this right, especially Yasmin, for wanting to hear what I had to say, really. To the person who's new, let somebody help you. If you want to know about commitment to recovery, you don't have to know anything yet. Let somebody help you. Probably the only thing I've seen in all the years I've been here that has ensured that somebody failed. Is yours off?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'll put it over here. Is to try to do it on your own and to not let somebody help you. I had to laugh at many of the things that Bim said because I thought, okay, we're not the same age, gender, ethnicity, country, language, and you said it all. You know, when I first got to narcotics, I've been clean a long time. I got clean before we had anything but the little white book, and I am just as much in love with Narcotics Anonymous today, probably more than I was then. I've been clean for over 45 years. Which also means I've been clean longer than most people in this room have been alive. I'm really used to that one. But from being a hopeless dope fiend, I got given life. I got given a life that I wouldn't trade. That light is making me wild. I would not trade for anything. When I first came, I didn't hear that. Oh, okay. You want it back? Guaranteed. I don't steal today. I forget, but I don't steal. You know, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had tried what I thought was being clean. Now when I look back on it, I'm sure I was never actually clean, but I had tried to get off drugs, and I knew there was something desperately wrong with me. And that if anybody really knew, they'd probably just lock me up in a mental hospital. One of the things that made me fall absolutely in love with Narcotics Anonymous is you told me that my problem was not drugs. My problem was not anything outside of me. My problem was me. And that you could help me. And there was something about that that made sense to me. Because for a long time, for me, drugs were a solution to the craziness that was going on in my head. I was incapable of doing life on life's terms. I had a court-appointed psychiatrist when I was a young teenager after a drug arrest. Tell my parents I was incapable of caring about anyone or anything. And while they were horrified, I was afraid he was right. Because I knew there was something wrong with me. Guess what there was? It was the disease of addiction. And the disease of addiction, our basic text says it beautifully: obsession, compulsion, self-centeredness, denial. And it affects the way I see myself and the way I see the world. It's a horrible place to live. So for anybody who's new, it doesn't always get easier, but it absolutely gets better. You know, I don't even know if I knew. Anyway, I've lived several lifetimes here. Several. Not many years, I should have. But an Al-Anon priest had gotten a hold of my parents, and my ex-husband had gone to Alcoholics Anonymous, so many of my rabbit holes and my excuses to live the way I lived were disappearing. I came to recovery to get out of trouble and get well enough to go back out. I went to a meeting every single day for 4 months, and then on my way to a meeting, I ran into friends and I used. It was the most horrible and the best 24 hours of my life because I probably learned more in that 24 hours than I've learned in any 24 hours before or since, because I knew I had a choice. I knew that there was another way. Being high felt horrible. It didn't work. And I wanted to do it my way. I didn't want to let, you scared me, honestly. I didn't want to let you get too close. So I wanted to do recovery my way, and it doesn't work that way. It still doesn't work that way. So I finally called a woman who had been praying for me, which creeped me out, before I got clean, and said, I need help. Somebody knocked on my door, took me by the hand, and took me to a meeting. And I haven't used since. And, you know, she told me something that you said when you were speaking. I said, I've been to a meeting every day. I've talked to a recovering addict every day. And she said, you're going to have to work for it. You're one of those that it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to work for it. And here's, I know we say that we only have one promise. I honestly don't believe that, because what she told me was the 12th step was a promise. And it's the only step that says what will happen. And it says, I will have a spiritual awakening if I work the steps. And that it was a promise. And I believed her, even though I didn't really believe her. And she started me on a process of falling in love with the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous that lasts to this day. You know, I think most people in this room also know that the other amazing thing about recovery is it's a 12-step program. So if you will work the steps and let somebody help you, things happen so much better than I can plan. And I plan for a living. But still, the way life opens and unfolds and happens is 45 years later still beyond my wildest dreams. I also cry a lot. Thank you. I love you too. You know, I started crying when I walked up here because Anna told me she gave up her bus ticket so she could come hear me. And I thought, as remarkable as it is how many people in this room that I actually love, is the fact that I can stand up here today as a woman and tell you I am a well-loved woman. I walk in the world with courage and bravery and faith and integrity because I have a huge foundation. And I don't ever have to worry about falling on my ass because I have too many people to help me. So it makes me really brave. And the fact that I can know and feel that I am that well-loved is because of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. It's that simple. For all of the other old-timers in the room, of which I see several, the other thing that happened to me 3 years before the pandemic, I've been very fortunate to have three sponsors in recovery, all of whom loved the steps and believed in the steps. But about 3 years before the shutdown in 2020, my sponsees conspired and tried to not tell me to have an online Zoom meeting about working the steps. So finally, of course, I said, "You can invite me." That meeting's over 7 years old. We meet once a month. We've tried everything. We've tried literature studies, everything else. We gave up a long time ago. About 5 years ago, we gave up. We just keep working the 12 steps. So it takes us a long time, but we just start all over again and go again. It is the first time in my entire recovery I have worked the steps without pain as a motivator. I don't say that because I'm proud of it. It's pretty stupid. It's like saying, here's this beautiful gift that will answer all of your problems and make you see yourself and the world much more clearly and beautifully. And I go, yeah, later. But I have never, I love the fact that 45 years later I can be surprised by what the steps can do for me, what they can do for other people, what the power is of working in a group of women where we're all in the same place in the steps at the same time. By the intimacy of those shared experiences together, by by the power of recovery. You know, it took me a long time to realize there's no such thing as recovery without commitment. And that still today, Arnie, I am not you. Arnie is one of those disciplined human beings, not me. I have to make commitments. This is what Narcotics Anonymous told me. Get a home group, take a service commitment, do things. So it doesn't matter how I feel on any given day. I have a commitment. And it's the same way I feel about my own personal recovery in the steps. It doesn't matter how I feel on any given day. I'm in the end of my fourth step, whether I like it or not. And that's where I am at the moment. I still will look for the easy way out. It is my first inclination, and now it just makes me laugh at myself. It's like it's not true. I know it sounds like it's going to be easier, but it's not easier. I have had, I don't know what time I started. I have had a magical journey in recovery. Magical. I learned how to, all the things that Bim talked about, be an employee, be a member of a family, be a friend, all of those things I have learned here. And I've been able to have many lives and many locations. And for the past 20 some years, I have worked for the fellowship at the World Service Office. And it's not, I have decent business skills that mostly I learned in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's one thing, but really I've been the token woman. I have had a lot of experiences and a lot of exposure because it was like, okay, she's not totally crazy and she's a woman and we need a woman, so send her. And so a lot of the things that have come to me and that I have enriched my life and my recovery are because of that. And I didn't ask for that. I didn't plan that. I planned to go to work at the World Service Office for 3 years, and 20 years later, I'm still there. Because every day, I am reminded about how powerful recovery is. And I have a mind that can forget anything that's good for me. And I have constant reminders about how big this thing is, how much it transcends language, culture. one of the things in the last 15 years, if women in Iran can recover, I can recover, and I can quit complaining. If the African Zonal Forum can survive the way it's surviving, I have had the great good privilege at being at their Zonal Forum meetings and watching them create themselves. I feel privileged to have been in that position and realize what we can do. What we can do if we'll work together and get over ourselves. One of the things that happens a lot in the United States is what I call old-timers disease. That the fellowship is no longer the way it was when I got clean, and so I want the whole fellowship to change to be the way I think it should be. I don't even understand that. That while as a woman in recovery, I can take what I can use and leave the rest, what has saved my life and continued to give it meaning is I didn't get to design Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous designed me. I don't understand as I see it, or thinking that because I've had the great good privilege of staying clean and staying here, because I learned about commitments and because I learned to keep my commitments, that I didn't think my way out the door, which I've tried to do several times, that Narcotics Anonymous should be just the way I think it should be. We are a big, messy, diverse fellowship. Thank everything that that's true. And that it's not how I see it, it's not how you see it, it's how we see it. And that I have faith in. That I believe in. It's the basis of my life. It's the basis of everything. I think of recovery, I think of Narcotics Anonymous really like my lifeboat. And when I'm in the big middle of it, I'm happy. Doesn't get too rocky even when things are hard. And when I get on the edges, I'm not very happy. I can take NA's inventory like a maniac and tell you all the things you're doing wrong, which doesn't help me at all, or you. But when I stay in the middle, all will be well. It is really, it's amazing to me how many of our cliches I've lived through and went, oh, that's why somebody created that, because it's true. I'm grateful that this was my home and that what I found out is that I continue, when I can't see the world as someplace beautiful and sparkly, I have faith that Narcotics Anonymous will give it back to me. I don't believe in instant fixes. I don't believe that somebody's gonna whack me on the head and with a magic wand and poof, I'm gonna feel different. But if I keep those commitments, if I have a commitment to my own personal recovery, I will change and my perspective on the world will change. And honestly, I don't know. I'm grateful I'm an addict. I never thought I would say that. I thought this was punishment. And instead, it's turned out to be everything I value. I thought this was the end of the road. This is what opened the road for me. I'm still a seeker. I go a lot of places. I have had a different perception of my higher power many times in my recovery, and I hope I have many more to come. It'll just be whether I live that long. But as long as this is my foundation, as long as I'm in the middle of the road, the whole world is open to me, and I can go all kinds of places and have all kinds of experiences. But if I don't have that, none of that is possible for me. So, you know, I say this to some of my sponsees, on the days when you can't believe you can get through this, believe I believe you can get through it. And if you need a hand, call me. And if you don't, call the person that's sitting next to you or somebody that you know, but please You know, this is a program of let us love you till you can love yourself. It really has been my experience. And that's what commitment is about. That when I feel unlovable, and when I feel not good enough, and when I feel broken or whatever, not enough I can come up with, if I come here, it gets better. And it gets better, and it gets better, and it gets better. I will say that, you know, it's really nice to see some people with a lot of time in this room, as well as people who are new. I don't know anybody who stays here for the long haul in their 30s and 40s and 50s. Nobody had that when I got clean. We didn't know what it looked like because nobody had it. Now where I live, I'm really lucky. It's all around me. And the virtual world has opened up this whole world where I'm never the old timer. I love that because I don't want to be this. I want to be this. I want to be one of, because I know that's where the magic lives. As my crazy friend Tom says, that's where the music is. And this is the thing that has healed me and continues to heal me in ways that I don't always understand, but oh my God, I appreciate it. You know, it sounds trite, but if I live to be 1,000, I cannot repay what you've given me. It's just not even possible. I have a crazy long-term relationship of over 35 years that has been up, down, apart, together, that I value. I have two stepchildren in recovery in their 30s with 30 plus years clean. There's a lot of time in my clean time in my family, and sometimes we act like it and sometimes we don't. There's so many. I have 1,000 stories of brokenness and healing to magic and things I didn't even know to ask for. I'm a woman who lost the ability to have children because of a direct result of my bad behavior using. Not very highly unusual, I have come to find out. And because of Narcotics Anonymous and because of life and recovery, I'm a grandmother. I think they heard me anyway. I have two 14-year-old grandsons that were at my house, the day before we left? I'm not their step-grandmother. I'm the only one they've got and the only one they know. And I realized, and this is about commitment, I realized when they were born, I wasn't going to get a do-over. This was my one chance, and it didn't matter even what they thought, but I needed to decide what kind of relationship I wanted with them, and I needed to act that so that I didn't have regrets, I think the thing about getting older and staying clean for a long time is lean in. If I have done anything that I regret in my recovery, it's the times I have taken it easy. When I have cruised and said, I'm going to do just enough to get by, because the only person I hurt when I do that, sorry if I spit on somebody, the only person I hurt when I do that is myself. That, like I said, it's like NA offers me this banquet and I go, oh no, later. So lean in. Give yourself the banquet. Know that there's so much more than I know. There is so much more than you know. There's a whole world of possibilities. And that's, the steps are designed to make it accessible for us. That's the whole purpose of the steps, is to give us a spiritual awakening and show us how to be a giver and not a taker. That's it. That's the bottom line. And I love you.
I'm going to close that.